On this day of Pentecost, I don't believe that God ever intended for it to just be a day that we remembered that happened 2,000 years ago. But I believe that it's a day that we celebrate, of course, but that we expect. God was showing on the day of Pentecost what he wants to do in his church. In fact, he wants to do it every Sunday. Can I take it a little step further? He wants to do it in your life every day. He wants to fill you. He wants to consume you. He wants to heal you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to pour giftings into you. He wants to make himself known to you. Hallelujah. He wants to burn disease out of your body. He wants to give you boldness where the enemy can't stop you, can't hold you back. Hallelujah. So today, in case you hadn't figured it out, the title of the message is Lord, Send the Fire. And so I'm going to try to get this done. And then at the end, because I know you noticed we haven't prayed for the sick and so on, but we're going to take the time. We're going to give you an opportunity to press in or receive the fire of God. And look, I believe that fire is here today. God says, I want to move in and through my people. Now, that ain't going to work for a spectator, but it'll work for a participator. If you're just going to sit here and gawk and say, let's see what this preacher can do for me, you ain't getting nothing. But if you'll press in and say, God, have me, take me, possess me, fill me, then he'll touch you in a powerful way. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 48, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, can I tell you right now that it's time for the church to begin to open its mouth and say, Peter opened his mouth and said, God ain't going to ever say a thing through you till you're willing to open your mouth. And so here's Peter. Man, he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. He went from being somebody fearful and running for his life to someone who is willing to stand in front of people and boldly declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the fire that made the difference. It's the Holy Spirit that made the difference. So Peter opened up his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Now, Peter's speaking a truth that we need to hear today. Very important to us today. God shows no partiality. And there is no prejudice in God. It don't matter how big you are, how small you are, how skinny or fat you are, how dark your skin is or how light your skin is. It doesn't matter. God is no respecter of persons, and he shows no partiality. Anybody who wants his spirit, the spirit is there for them. Anybody who wants his fire, the fire is available. He says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now, I'll tell you, we live in a nation right now where it's very hard to find the fear of God in anybody. And to be honest with you, it's hard to find righteousness in people. Because people have they've come up with a God of their own making, a Jesus of their own making that lets them live however they want to live, whenever they want to live, and do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. Many are not submitted to him, though they call themselves a Christian, and they're not doing works of righteousness, and they're not fearing God. They do whatever they want to do because they believe the lie that somehow God's okay with it. So I can live in sin, I can do this, I can do that, and God don't think anything of it because he loves me. Yeah, he loves me. He does love me. He loves me so much he don't want me to destroy myself with those things. And he goes on to say, the word which God sent to his children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Somebody say, with the Holy Spirit and power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Somebody say, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Now, let me ask you a question, church. Is God with you? If you know him, he promised to never leave or forsake you. Is he with you? Yes. Then if he is with you, shouldn't we be taking part in that? If he's with you, notice what it said. For God was with him. It could have been translated because God was with him. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. This was not just something Jesus could do. This is something you and I can do. He's put that power within us. He's made it available for us. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, whom God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. I like that. It's kind of like a one-up thing. He said, yeah, they killed him and hung him on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Yeah, the devil threw his best shot, but it didn't work. Not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to those who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, somebody say, thank God for that name. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And we understand believe is not just a mental assent, but belief is something you catch in your spirit. You believe in your heart. And when you believe in your heart, it changes your life. While Peter was still speaking, now here's our main scripture. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jewish people, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. See, the Jewish people thought that God only loved them, that God only cared about them. But thank God, he loved the Gentiles too. And he poured out on the Gentiles too. You know why we ought to thank God? Because them Gentiles are you and me. Amen. Thank God he fell on the Gentiles too. And so verse 46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And listen, today in the modern day church, it's amazing. But people, they get so spooked and so freaked out over tongues. And I don't understand that. And how many of you know we're scared of things we don't understand? But tongues was never intended for us to understand. Tongues is only intended for God to understand. We'll never understand it. Thank God. I love the fact that he gave us this gift of tongues because it gets us out of our own head where we're in control and trying to tell God what he needs to do. But instead, it allows the Holy Spirit to begin to intercede from the inside with words that we can't understand. And the Bible says it's the perfect will of God. And so when we're praying in the Spirit, man, listen, if you're praying the will of God, the Bible says he hears it and you have it. So I learned pray in tongues more than I pray in English. Because in English, I want to take control and start telling God what I think needs to happen. But when I'm praying in the Spirit, I got no control over that. But I do make the choice to allow him to intercede through me. So, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to stay a few days. So while Peter was still speaking these words, the scripture says, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. You're going to hear the word today. In fact, you just heard the word today. Anybody ready for the Holy Spirit to fall upon you? I want to draw your attention to this one word. This is interesting. This one word in this verse, the word fell. The Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. Now, when we think about the word fell translated in an English word, we don't think of falling as being something aggressive. We think of falling as something we try to keep ourselves from doing, right? So falling doesn't sound on purpose. When we fall, typically, it's not on purpose. Anybody here ever fall and it wasn't on purpose? Yeah. So when we think of the word fall, we don't think of it being an aggressive thing. But I want to show you something. The Holy Spirit, number one, it tells me that what is happening is the work of the Holy Spirit when it says that he fell. See, it had nothing to do with them making it happen. It lets us know that it was God's desire, it was God's will for the Spirit to fall upon his people. God has been waiting and waiting and waiting. And throughout history, we'll see times where the Spirit fell. We'll see times where the fire fell. But right at the beginning of creation, the Bible says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. Everything was in chaos, disorder. It was empty. It was void. And the Bible says the Spirit was hovering over all of that chaos, all that emptiness. Anybody got any chaos going on? Any kind of emptiness going on? You got some voids in your life? The Holy Spirit is hovering over that, waiting for the opportunity to come in and make a difference, to fall on you, to send your fire. Listen, The Holy Spirit did this because he wanted to, not because people had to beg him to. Can I tell you, it's the same thing God does with healing, salvation, all of that. We don't have to beg God for those things. God wants those things to come to his people. We have to receive it. So this was initiated, the fact that the Holy Spirit fell was initiated on his side, not our side. Okay? So it doesn't say that they jumped up and grabbed it. It doesn't say they reached out and took a hold of the Holy Spirit. No, it says the Holy Spirit fell on them. Now, let me get to this part about the word fell. Number two, the word fell means rush or press upon, come suddenly upon, come forcibly to seize, to take possession of. See, that's a little different than what we think about as fall. Look, it wasn't that he like tripped and accidentally fell on the people on that day, on the day of Pentecost or this day that we just read. It's not like it was an accident. No, it was God saying, I'm looking for an opportunity. And as soon as I have an opening, I'm going to rush upon this situation. I'm going to press upon this people. I'm going to come suddenly upon them. I'm going to come forcibly upon them. I am going to seize and take possession of them. But again, it has to be with us allowing it to happen. I've been praying a lot lately, Holy Spirit, possess me. I used to not say that because the word possess is kind of spooky. I don't know if you've ever seen a demon-possessed person. I have. It's kind of a freaky thing. Thank God for the power of the name of Jesus that deals with that situation. But to think that I'm asking the Holy Spirit to possess me, that's a little scary because he might do it. And then that means he'll really be in charge and not me. Right? I've been saying, Holy Spirit, possess me. Take over. Take over. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, he's going to take me and I'm going to go around and, you know, looking like a zombie or acting crazy or whatever. But it does mean that he leads my life. Does mean he's in charge. Now, let me tell you something else about this word fell. Now, this is interesting to me. This word literally can be translated to strike. It can be translated to hit. Tell somebody next to you, you look like you need to get hit by the Holy Ghost. Come on, go ahead and tell them. Tell them, there's just something about you. There's just something about you. You look like you need to get struck by the Spirit this morning. Tell them, you need to be slapped by the Spirit this morning. So it wasn't just fell casually. No, this was forceful. This was God saying, I'm about to get in my church and we about to do business on this earth. We about to be fruitful and multiply the way I always wanted to do it. And we're about to let the glory of God be shown all over this earth. That's what we're about to do. The Holy Spirit came in an undeniable, indisputable manner. It was tangible. It was heavy. It was a manifestation of the power of God. Listen, I'm so disgusted with the thought that people can think that they can just show up to church and do their church stuff and go through their religious duty and they clap and sing and do whatever they do in church and everything is according to the tradition and so on and so forth. But there's no power. There's no fire. There's no healing. There's no miracles. There's no people truly being transformed. That is not what God intended for his church. He intended fire to fall upon his church. He intended for his people to take the fire out of the four walls and bring it to the world that desperately needs it. So people who experienced this, they were visibly and physically affected. They felt it. And everybody present could see the effects of the Spirit upon them. Tell somebody, it's real. It's real. As I read this scripture, my mind goes to other places in the Bible where the power of God fell. Even in the Old Testament, you could see it was like God knocking on the door. It was like God saying, this is what I really want my people to experience. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 26 says, David made an altar to the Lord and called upon the Lord, and God answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar and burnt offering. He answered by fire. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, Solomon had made a great sacrifice to the Lord. Or when he had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. I'm telling you, when we'll do like Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us, that live our life as a living sacrifice. Once we make up our mind again that I am no longer my own, I've been bought with a price, and I'm going to live my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. When I make up my mind to do that, the fire falls. God can't help it. He's attracted to it. These were also undeniable, indisputable, irrefutable, visible, tangible manifestations of the power of God. So then the one that really stands out was when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he was squared off with King Ahab, the wicked king, and all the false prophets of Baal upon that mountain. And the false prophets and the true prophet, the man of God, Elijah, came to an agreement. That's the only thing they agreed about, but that they would both build an altar. And they would offer a sacrifice and they would put no fire to it. Because how many of you know we can't put fire to it? The fire has to come from God. And they would call on their respective gods. And of course, all they could call on was the little g gods. But Elijah knew the big G God, the original G. And so the God that answered by fire would be recognized as the one true God. And the story goes that the false prophets built their altar and they laid the sacrifice on the altar and they called upon Baal, their false god. And really, by the way, when you're calling upon a false god, what you're really calling upon is demons. And they're calling upon Baal and from morning till noon with no answer. And Elijah begins to mock them. It's really a funny story. He begins to mock them. He begins to say, hey, where is old Baal? Is it, you think he fell asleep? Maybe he went to the bathroom. Where do you think he is? He began to mock them. And then they became violent and they went into a frenzy and they began to jump on the altar and cut themselves with sharp objects until the blood gushed out. Again, now here's a little side note. Again, understand that this whole move that started happening with so many young people cutting themselves and all that, you better know that the source of that is absolutely demonic. And young people need to know, they need to understand what they're playing with. They think it's just some kind of emotional thing. No, no, they're playing with demons. They're worshiping demons. They continued from noon until evening sacrifice. And then Elijah took over because, of course, their false gods could not answer with the fire. And the Bible says that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I want to tell you that today the altar of the Lord needs to be repaired in the church of the United States of America. That altar needs to be repaired. And that doesn't just mean an altar like this up here in the front, but it's talking about the altar in our lives, the altar of where we present ourselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord again, where the church is no longer making it all about them and what pleases them and what satisfies them, but they understand that the offering, the sacrifice, was always supposed to be, the worship was always supposed to be a pleasing scent to God. And they continued from noon until the evening sacrifice, and Elijah took over and he repaired that altar. And thank God he repaired it. He put the wood in order. Let me tell you another thing. There are some times when the fire of God will not fall until we do what he says to do. He put the wood in order. He did it the way it was supposed to be done. And then he had 12 barrels of water poured on the sacrifice. And then he prayed a very short prayer. And the Bible says, then the Lord fell. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed that burnt sacrifice. Listen, when there's a real sacrifice of praise, when there's a real sacrifice, a real offering of worship unto the Lord, God says, I can't help but send my fire. I can't help it. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Let me ask you a question, church. How often does it happen that a person sees our lives and they see God doing something in our lives? And look, many of you, they knew you in the past, but they know that when they see you now, they can't help but fall on the ground and say, the Lord, He is God. Amen. Right? I knew that rascal when, but look at what God has done now. Amen. When's the last time somebody said, the Lord, He is God, because they know the Lord who's gotten a hold of your life has manifested Himself and they can't deny it. I believe that's His desire for all of us. It's His desire for His church. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We have to have something real that they can see. That's why He sent the fire. And so when the people saw it, man, they had to declare their gods were false and His was the real one. They experienced a visible, tangible manifestation of the power of God. They had a God encounter. They experienced the fire of God. The power of God fell upon that mountain, on that altar, and on that sacrifice. And God is looking for a place where He can fall upon, where He can press into, where He can strike, where He can hit, where He can forcibly take over. He's looking for a place where people will welcome that. And then my mind goes to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. That's very familiar to most people in this type of a church. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there was the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, again, I've said this before, but again, I don't believe that on that day that it was a little old flame that came and was just kind of up over their head like the pictures we see. I believe that it was an all-consuming flame that completely covered them and clothed them. It was the glory of God manifesting once again in humanity. And I believe that at the beginning when Adam and Eve was walking with God, when they were walking with Him in the cool of the day and they were visiting with Him and they were filled with His Spirit. I believe Adam and Eve from the beginning were filled with the Spirit because that's the way God created us to function. He never created us to function without His Spirit. And I believe they were literally clothed inside and out with His Spirit. The Bible says when they sinned, when they decided to do it their way instead of God's way, when they disobeyed God, when they leaned to their own understanding instead of leaning into God and His, and what He has said, then the Bible says they sinned and that glory left them. How do we know the glory left them? Because all of a sudden they looked naked. Now, they never thought they were naked before. You know why? Because they were clothed with the glory of God. I believe on the day of Pentecost, God sent that glory back for His church. And it wasn't just a little flicker, but it was a big flame. It was a whole flame that was big enough to encapsulate them. That's what God wants His church to look like. But He wants, when people see us, He wants them to see His fire. Now, thank God for that. Thank God for that. That He's made that available. Now, it goes on to say in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, so many again in the church today have tried to just do away with that and treat it like it doesn't matter, like it's not important. Others said, well, it was a one-time thing that happened on that day, the day of Pentecost. But look, if God is no longer giving people tongues, if God is no longer working in that way, then God is no longer obviously giving people the fire. But I don't believe that. Because I've seen the fire. I've experienced the fire. I know the fire. I know what the fire can do. Amen. I've seen Him raise people up. I've seen Him heal people. I've seen Him touch people by the fire. I've seen it over and over again. I've experienced it myself. The fire of God fell on David's altar in the burnt offerings. The fire of God fell on Solomon's offering and sacrifices. It was the Holy Spirit, fire of God. The same Spirit, that fire that fell on Mount Carmel. That fire is the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The Holy Spirit fire fell on the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. In every case, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was a visible, tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. And what concerns me today is this, that we are raising a generation or more than one generation of Christians, those that claim to know Christ, they claim to be Christian, but they've never had an encounter with God. They've never experienced the fire. They have no idea what we're talking about when we talk about the fire. And I'm telling you that if they don't get a hold of the fire of God, those generations are doomed. And that's what's been happening in the United States of America for a long time. They lost the fire. The world is being the world. The problem is not the world. The problem is the church with no fire. So there are those that they've never experienced a tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. And you know what I found? That I'm finding full-grown people, preachers of the gospel, who've never seen a miracle, never experienced a healing, never seen anything like that, but yet they're the ones behind the pulpits. What is going on? So they know about God mentally, intellectually, religiously. They know God in theory, but they've never had a Mount Carmel, Day of Pentecost, House of Cornelius encounter with the fire of God falling on them. And I want to tell you, the fire will fall where people will become a living sacrifice. They've never experienced those things. They've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit seizing them and taking possession of them. They ain't never been slapped by the Spirit or hit by the Holy Spirit. They ain't never experienced that. Somebody ought to say, Lord, slap me and slap me good. Too many people in this generation today have the fire of God only as a concept. It's just an idea. But we need to know this. The fire of God is not just a concept or an idea or a theory or a philosophy to be studied. It is not a figment of an overactive imagination. It's not just religious ramblings. The fire of God is the mighty Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God. He is the might and the power of God. He is the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel, that fell on the day of Pentecost, that fell in Cornelius' house, and the same fire that we want in this house. And it's the same fire you need in your house. The fire is real. The fire is tangible. The fire is alive. The fire is contagious. The fire of God is the power of God. The power of God is the only power that can heal. It's the only power that can do miracles. Listen, doctors can help. They can cut stuff out. They can, you know, give you medication. They can burn stuff with chemotherapy. They can, you know, and that's okay. I mean, it's not that they're not doing something, but I want to tell you, unfortunately, there's side effects with that many times. But praise God, when the fire of God hits you, there are no side effects. The only side effect is healing, wholeness, strength, power, a changed life. That's the side effect of the fire of God. The fire of God can burn drugs out of your system and take the desire out all at the same time. The fire of God can restore literally missing body parts. Now, people have a hard time believing that one. The fire of God can melt metal plates in a person's back, in a person's body. I've seen it. I know. I've seen it. The fire of God can deliver from alcohol and pornography and lust and perversion of all kind. Man, we desperately need that in our nation right now. The fire of God will burn up jealousy and pride and criticism and bitterness and unforgiveness. The fire of God will heal your broken heart. It'll restore your joy. It'll restore your peace. The fire of God will heal your marriage. The fire of God will heal your mind. Listen, my prayer for this house, for this church, and the church at large is, God, do it again. Let the fire fall. Do it again. Let the fire fall. All across this country, all across this area, every church this morning, let your fire fall. That same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, that same fire, again, that fell on these Gentiles in Cornelius' house, let it fall on us. Somebody say, come suddenly, Lord. Come forcibly. Come powerfully. Rush in on us, Holy Spirit. Seize us, Holy Spirit. Take possession of us, Holy Spirit. Look, we're not just satisfied to read about it and to sing about it. We want to experience it for ourselves. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that power is not a theory or a concept like we said. That power is the same power that caused the sun and the moon to stand still. It's the same power that made three Hebrew children fireproof in the fiery furnace. It's the same power that gave those lions in that den lockjaw in Daniel's day. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and opened up the graves of other dead people in that same moment, and they got up and began to walk the streets. The same power. It's the same power that shook Paul and Silas's prison and released them and caused the jailer to say, what must I do to be saved? It's the same power that was upon Jesus' life as he opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped deaf ears and made the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. It's the same power that he's made available to his church on the day of Pentecost. He sent that power. It's the same anointing. It's the same power that God is hovering over. The Holy Spirit is hovering over his people right now saying, I wish they'd let me in. I hope they let me in. I wish they let me in. I sure hope they will open their lives and let me in. I wish they would just make an opening. All I need is an opening. If they'll give me an opening, I'll rush in there. I'll hit them. I'll strike them with the Holy Ghost. I will forcibly overtake things in their lives. God's wanting to fall on your life with a tangible, undeniable, irrefutable, indisputable manifestation of the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. But it comes to those who are hungry. Blessed are those who are hungry, for they shall be filled. Ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open to you. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable things you do not know. Hunger is a magnet to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hunger will open the door for the manifestation of the power of God. It can't be satisfied with concepts and theories and philosophies. The apostle of faith Smith Wigglesworth. Many of you know Smith Wigglesworth. He healed many people, raised many people from the dead. He said this. He said, every soul touched by Pentecost should be a live wire. Let me ask you a question. I'm a country boy, so I know this firsthand. Anybody in here ever got a hold of a live wire in the natural? Come on, raise your hand. You ever got a hold of a live wire in the natural? Can I tell you something? You know you done touched something. There's no denying it. You know you got a hold of something, and it was something that it kind of shocked you a little bit. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to shock you with His power. He wants to shock you with His presence. The other day in Nicaragua, when Pastor Frank and I, we were talking about this the other day, there was a lady we were praying for. She needed healing in her shoulder. And I'm telling you, it was like an electrical current that hit that lady. And Brother Frank stuck his fingers on my shoulder. And at that moment, we came into agreement. And the fire of God was in that moment. I'm telling you, it was such a powerful, I don't know how it didn't knock the lady out of her chair, because it about knocked me down. But his fingers, I literally heard his fingers pop. He said, what in the world was that? It's called the fire of God. Amen. And I believe that there's some hungry and some thirsty people listening to me right now who say, you know what? I need more than what I've experienced. I need something to hit me that's never hit me before. I need to grab a hold of the live wire of the Holy Spirit and let that fire of God come in me and take over me and consume me and begin to lead my life and press me into the destiny that God has for me. I believe somebody's going to catch fire today, but it'll be the hungry ones. Somebody's going to catch fire today, but it's going to be the thirsty ones. Somebody's going to catch fire today, but you got to be willing to allow the Lord to just seize you and get you out of control and let Him take control. Now, the sad thing is, it's possible that somebody could sit in a service like this, listen to a message like this, and walk out them doors the same way they've always been, with the same addictions, the same problems, the same troubles, the same thought life, the same powerlessness, but it doesn't have to be that way. There is a consuming anointing in this house right now for anybody who is willing to get a hold of it. Amen. Who's willing to allow the Holy Spirit to fall upon them. There is a consuming anointing right now. And it's the same fire that we saw all through the scripture. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. Listen, wherever there is an altar, wherever there is a sacrifice, wherever there are hungry hearts, wherever there is a desperation for Him, the God who answers by fire will be there, and He will save, and He will heal, and He will deliver, and He will restore you, and He will heal broken hearts, and He will revive you, resurrect you. He'll put His fire back in you. I'm telling you, He came to bring a fresh anointing to this house this morning, to those who are willing to receive it, to set your heart and your life on fire. Come on, if you need to be healed, this is the time to be healed. If you need to be set free, this is the time to be set free. Come on, press into this altar. Press into this altar. You need help with your marriage, press into this altar. You need help with your life, your attitude, your family, your mind, your body. Come on, press in. Come on, begin to call out for the fire. Lord, follow me. Follow me. Consume me, Lord. Burn up dead religion. Burn up carnality. Burn up dead traditions. Burn up everything that's not of You and set us on fire for Your glory today, God. Holy Ghost, fall upon us today. Holy Ghost, fall upon us today. Holy Ghost, fill our lives with Your fire. Burn out everything that doesn't belong. Burn out every tradition. Lord, burn out everything that is in opposition to Your will, God. Burn out everything, God, that didn't come from You. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we welcome the fire. We welcome the fire. We welcome the fire. Lord, send Your fire. Send Your fire, God. Just like on the day of Pentecost, send Your fire, God. Send it in my heart, God. Put it in my hands, Lord. Put it in my feet, God. Put it in my eyes, Lord. Holy Spirit, put it in my mouth that I might speak boldly for You. Baptize Your people again, Father. Fill Your people to overflowing, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, that that fire burns out every demonic stronghold, every demonic force, every demonic thought in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voice. I can't do it for you. Come on, lift your voice. I yield to you, God. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. I yield to you, Lord. Strike me with your power. Hit me with your power, God. Burn in me, Lord Jesus. Burn in me, Lord Jesus. Burn in me, Lord Jesus. Signs, wonders, miracles, God. Supernatural touches from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill us with your fire, God. Fill us with your fire, God. Fill us with your fire, God. We open our heart to you. We open our souls to you. We open ourselves to you. Hallelujah. Take control, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on. Don't stop praising him. Come on. Don't stop praising him. Come on. Don't stop. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Fire, fire, fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Send the fire, Lord. Oh, re Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's all you, God. It's all for your glory. It's all for your majesty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's all for your kingdom, God. We yield, we yield, we yield. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for the day of Pentecost. We thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he's still available. He's still looking to get into our systems, in our lives, in our situations, in our families, in our homes, God. We welcome the fire. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you to break every stronghold. We welcome you to break every addiction. We welcome you to convict us, God. Lord, convict us of sin that we have settled with, God. Convict us, Lord. We welcome you to burn in us, Lord. Oh, God, that the fear of God return again, that works of righteousness happen in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right there. Fire, 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 fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Burn out every sickness and disease, God. We speak life. We speak health. We speak wholeness, liberty, freedom. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, fire, flow through them. Flow through them. Flow through them. Hallelujah, Father. Hit them like electricity, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for raising up live wires for your glory, God. Live wires for your glory. Live wires for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We burn out cancer cells in Jesus' name. Burn out disease in the organs in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Fill them with your peace. Fill them with your joy, God. Fill them with your fire, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come alive in your people. Come alive in your people, God. Come alive in your people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Healing virtue from the head to the feet, from the hair to the toenails. Thank you, Father. Every disease, every sickness, every infection, every fungus, in Jesus' name, we command you, be gone from the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Root cause of headaches, migraine headaches, we curse you at the roots right now. We release the people of God from that in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Lord, we want to take the fire out of this house with us. Lord, I thank you that throughout the day, throughout the week, Father, throughout the month, throughout the year, God, I thank you for an increase, an increase, an increase of your fire, an increase of your presence, an increase of your power, God, flowing through your people, Father. Lord, we know the time is short. We know that the darkness is thick, but I thank you for your fire, Lord, that pierces through the darkness, God, and brings life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Every system of the body, we say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We will believe the report of the Lord. Thank you, Father. He says, I am free. He says, I am healed. Hallelujah. He says, I am saved. I am delivered. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Burn in your people. Burn in your people. Burn in your people, God. Burn in our hearts. Burn in our bellies. Burn in our lips. Burn in your people, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I pray if there's anyone in this room today, Lord, if they have never surrendered their heart to you, Father, if their hearts are hard for any way, shape, or form, for any reason, God, I pray that you begin to draw them, pull them, tug them, whatever it takes. I pray a hedge of thorns around them, Father, that they would only be able to go the way that you designed for their life, God. Lord, I pray that you would draw and pull them. Father, I pray that they would not get another good night's sleep until they surrender to you. I pray, Father God, that there would be such a longing for your peace that they would run to you in repentance. Yes. And receive your grace, and receive your love, and receive your freedom, and receive your healing, and receive your deliverance, God, to receive this salvation that is so full and free. Now, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you love them, Lord, with a love that can't even be explained. I pray, make that real to them, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord some praise? Come on, before we, can we give him a good shout? Come on, lift your voice and shout it out. Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about Samson taking some foxes and tying their tails together and setting their tails on fire. And then he sent them out into the enemy's fields to burn up the enemy's fields. God says, I set you on fire today to go out and burn the enemy's fields down, to go and spread the glory of God across this earth. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, go set some fields on fire. Amen.